We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. A lot to be thankful for this week for Bears and Bear fans as well, as the Bears defeated Stanford in the big game, got the axe back in Berkeley. And so today's show is going to be primarily about football and the game coming up with UCLA on Saturday. All right, with us now is head coach Justin Wilcox. Just a terrific victory, and just did so much for so many different people, your team, your coaches, your fans, the program in general. First of all, let's start with the end of the game. Okay, the reaction by the fans, and the Cal fans came out in droves. And I don't know the last time I can remember when a visiting team's fans totally engulfed the opposing team's field after the game, but it was a wonderful feeling and just a tremendous victory. And that celebration was one that everybody's going to remember for a long, long time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I think all of our players, you know, they were able to soak it in and enjoy that moment. And I think myself and our coaching staff and all the Cal Bears out there was a lot of pin-up energy, you know, and to find a way to win late in the game with a gutsy drive against a good football team and, you know, being able to get the axe back. It just means a lot to so many people. And you saw the emotion on the field after the game with the players for sure, but the fans and the alumni and how much it means to them. That was a really special moment.
And you spent a lot of time on the field after the game. I saw many tweets and photos out there. I mean, it seemed like everybody wanted to be involved.
Yeah, which was really neat. And honestly, I was telling somebody the other day, I mean, as soon as we, you know, finished the game and said congrats to the other team, and I got to shake Coach Shaw's hand and a couple guys that I know, then I just turned into a spectator. And that's what I know myself and our other coaches, we were talking about that. That's where the joy comes from, watching our players, seeing the joy in their faces, and then the fans and the alumni and how much it means to them. And it means a lot to us, so don't get me wrong, but just to be spectate and watch all that and see the joy in these people's faces, that was a really cool moment.
I know in basketball that the home team can be fined $25,000 for fans storming the court after the game. I don't know who gets a fine in this case or if anybody gets a fine, but whatever it is, it's well worth it. The other thing is, I mean, kind of a humorous note, you know, they have this great long tradition with the axe, is that the rally committees of both teams kind of face each other at the end of the game, and the team that has the axe is holding it. And if it changes hands, it switches hands, and then the team that then owns the axe gets to parade around with it. But there was an unfortunate incident, you probably saw it too, where a couple of the people on the rally committee fell down, one gal got cut. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you got to practice these things, don't you? You got to practice these things. I remember years ago, I don't know if you remember up in Oregon, you were young at the time, hadn't even gone to Junction City at the time, but Oregon State had a coach by the name of Jerry Pettibone. And his team had struggled against the Ducks for years. Rich Brooks kind of owned that series. But during the week, he practiced, if Oregon State would beat Oregon, carrying the seniors off the field at Autzen Stadium. And lo and behold, they did. And so they had practiced it. So I'm just thinking, you know, maybe practice this thing a little bit more. I know that the axe was here and the rally committee brought it out to practice as well this week.
Yeah, it was great. The stare down, we actually talked about the rivalry and the axe the night before the game, kind of educating them on, you know, where the axe, where it originated, and took them through the story and talked about the stare down in the last 2 minutes. And basically the rally committee, they stand there. When they started the stare down, we were behind. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, we were able to come out on top, and they made the transition. And so, one of the young ladies that was carrying a part of the committee, she took a tumble and actually got some stitches, and they came up yesterday. And, you know, we had a picture with the team and with the rally committee who's been awesome. And she's got a great story to tell. Yeah. And she's going to have a little scar, but it's such a great story. And we all kind of she laughed about it. And we, you know, wanted to make sure she was all right. But it was a really great moment for them, for the rally committee, and again, all the Cal Bears out there.
Yeah, it is a story that she'll be able to tell forever. And, you know, that's a scar worth having. Let's face it. I mean, you've got to have some scars at some point in time. That's one worth having, that's for sure. So it's just a great day at the end. So now let's talk about what happened during the game, because in some regards, it reminded me a little bit of what happened at Washington earlier in the year, is that the Huskies took the lead late, and then your offense has got what looks like one final possession to come down and either tie with a field goal or get the lead with a touchdown, which is what you did. And Chase Garbers, again, made plays. You start that last drive with a couple of completions. There was a sack in there as well, but then he caps it off with a run that'll live in Cal football history, Cal lore, forever and ever. Tell us about, did you have a sense of deja vu a little bit, knowing that you're in a similar situation earlier in the year and you'd been able to respond to that?
Well, I think if on the sideline, one thing you would notice is guys were confident. We had done some good things offensively throughout the game. We just stubbed our toe a few times and got us behind, whether it was at the end of the first half, we put a good drive together, but we got a holding call that kind of prevented us from getting probably a touchdown or at least 3 points. And then third quarter, we hit a little bit of a lull there and weren't able to get things going. But we had moved the ball, and the guys were confident, and they went out and made plays when it counted. And the O-line blocked, you know, it was the backs blocking and running, Chase making plays, and then the receivers, a bunch of different guys on that last drive from Nico. Trayvon Clark had a huge catch on the sideline, and then ultimately capping it off with Chase on the scramble to seal it.
Nico Remigio has been a guy we've been waiting for that breakthrough game with him, and he showed a lot of promise coming out of high school at Mater Dei. We're going to talk to him in the second segment of the podcast this week. I mean, he just was open, and he was catching the ball and just doing everything that you would hope that he would have done all season long.
Yeah, it was great to see, and you could kind of feel like it was coming. Yeah. At some point, that was going to happen with Nico because how he approaches practice, meetings, he's a tough guy, he's a competitor, and it was great to see it all that pay off. And some of the coverages they played and the way they match up, you know, the ball – ended up going to Nico a lot because of some of those things, but he also, you know, ran some really nice routes, and Chase made some good throws. There was a couple scrambles where he got open, and Chase was able to buy some time and deliver it to him. So it was great to see Nico make those plays, and just a really bright spot, and I'm really proud of him and excited for him and the rest of those guys because those things build confidence, and they tend to snowball.
And he had the big block to enable Chase to get to the end zone as well. Really nice seal-off block there. Yep. Defensively, want to talk about the, you know, Jayhawk had a phenomenal interception at the goal line, which actually, you know, turned into points for Stanford because it had a bad punt as a result. But anyway, it denied them of a touchdown initially there. Phenomenal catch. And then Daniel Scott got a lot of play in this game, played very well. He's done that on special teams. Talk about those two guys' performance.
Yeah, Jayhawk has been just such a warrior his entire career here. And, you know, he is a physical guy. He loves playing and competing, and you always can count on him. And it's great. He had a really good game, and he was a defensive player of the game for us. And he's always going to be physical and tackle and hit. And like you said, such a great play on the ball, the one-handed interception. And then Daniel Scott, I think the greatest lesson that we talked to our team about in the team meeting was, here's a guy who started out really last year playing special teams, kind of found his way. He would show up on kickoff, on punt return, and then found his way in this year, playing a little bit more. Then he got dinged up, but he has continued to fight through some, you know, nagging injuries, and he practices and he plays, and then he got an opportunity and made a great play. Mm-hmm. And he's just a guy that, you know, it showed up on special teams, and now it, you know, it proves that if you do that, then you're more likely to make some good plays on either offense or defense, and he did it on defense, and really, really happy for him.
All right, team with the victory, bowl eligible. That's a big deal. Back-to-back bowl games. Mm-hmm. Of course, at this point in time, we have no idea where the Bears might be going during the holidays, but you're going to go somewhere, someplace to play a good opponent, that's for sure. Just the fact that you've gone to back-to-back bowl games, how important is that for your program?
Well, it's huge. I mean, you look at it, it's almost, depending on which bowl game you go to, it's almost another spring football. Mm-hmm. And so the development factor for your younger players and the maturity that that can help bring, the reward for the guys that are on the team, the momentum that it carries, the fact that you get to practice through December allows you to stay in condition longer and, you know, helps your winter and spring training. So there's just, you know, recruiting and all these things. It just, there's a domino effect of how important these games are. And so it's great to get into a bowl game. We've gone back-to-back years, which hasn't happened in a while. So we're proud of that. Now we got to build on it. And, you know, we need to go down and play really well this week so we get into the best bowl game possible.
This will be our final opportunity to chat with you prior to letter of intent day. So, and again, you can't talk with specific people or names involved, but give us a little bit of an idea of what the momentum has been like for you during this cycle, and also what you're looking for as far as this early signing period class is concerned.
Yep. So we have quite a few guys committed, and we're going to go out and hit the road right after the UCLA game. It's a really busy time because the early signing day, I want to say it's Wednesday, and I think it's the 18th or 19th, somewhere in there, whatever that Wednesday is in December. So you basically have 2 weeks to get out on the road, and we're going to be traveling a lot. We'll come back on the weekends for recruiting weekends. We're going to have a lot of guys visiting. Our players will be here doing, you know, their schoolwork and getting ready for finals, and they'll have some workouts and potentially some practices on the weekend. But it's a really critical time. I would imagine we're going to sign most of our class at this early signing day, and that class could range from, you know, 23, 24, all the way up to potentially 27. Probably don't see it going that high, but that's kind of the range we're looking at, and we're and position wise, it kind of depends on which group. You know, we're heavy skill position this year, more so than last year, and continuing to try and build, you know, with big guys, offensive and defensive line. But it's a little more balanced this year in terms of the skill positions and the linemen.
You mentioned anywhere from 23 up to 27. The NCAA says 25. How can you go over 25?
Because we're going to bring in some mid-year guys, and we can count a couple guys back. There's the transfer part of it, and so there's opportunity for us to sign up to that many. I doubt it's probably going to go that high. Things would have to fall certain ways, but it should be a well-rounded class with a bunch of guys. The reception out there has been very, very positive. It's extremely competitive in recruiting, very competitive, and it's never over, and so we're going to continue to recruit these guys, and no matter if they've been committed, you know, 8 months, 10 months, or 1 month, you know, we're going to recruit them like crazy, and, I think they're all excited. They're the right type of people that we want to bring into the program and grow and develop.
Hopefully, 23 or 24 nice Christmas presents wrapped with a blue and gold bow around them as well. All right, let's talk briefly about UCLA. We'll talk more about the Bruins in the pregame show on Saturday. We'll be on the air at 6:30, 7:30 kickoff, Bears against UCLA, the final Pac-12 regular season game in the entire schedule. And so it's a big one for the Bears because of the fact it's UCLA. It's the next game. You can get to 7 wins. You can move up in the conference standings. You got a chance to finish as high as 2nd in the North Division. Tell us a little bit about UCLA.
Well, they've, as of late, done a really nice job kind of scoring the football. I mean, they scored 30 or more in the last, I think, 5 of the last 6. They've played 2 of the most talented teams in back-to-back weeks, but they had a stretch there where they were really doing well. They're talented. They're well coached. You know, I'm sure they're dealing with some injuries and things that are a little bit uncontrollable, like a lot of people are. But, you know, we know the coaches well, and Coach Kelly and Coach Az, and we know what type of people and coaches they are. And then we, you know, we know their roster pretty well because a lot of those guys we recruit at early stage. So it'll be a battle, you know, back home in LA for a lot of our guys, which they'll be excited about, and we'll need to go out and play well.
Last year they played really well. They kind of came on late in the year, and it started with our game against them as they did a lot of good things. Joshua Kelly in particular, running the football, and DTR, a mobile quarterback. So those are elements that you have to take care of this week.
Yeah, I mean, DTR is a fantastic athlete, and he's throwing the ball really well. He scrambles extremely well. Joshua Kelly is a very strong runner. We know that. We've seen that, you know, up close. And so very talented offense. Receiver, they spread the ball around really well. They have, you know, one guy in Phillips who's got a bunch of catches and touchdowns, and then they spread it out. They got 5 guys that are right around 20 or more. And so talented there. They got some playmakers on defense. They'll give you a lot of different looks, play aggressive up in your face in coverage. So they'll make you earn it for sure. And I know our guys will be excited to play. And like I said, back down in the Rose Bowl, back home for a lot of them with a lot on the line for us.
No question about it. And again, we'll talk more about that a little bit in the pregame show on Saturday evening. Appreciate your time. Big week coming up this week as well. What do you guys do for Thanksgiving? I mean, do you get the team together? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, we actually go earlier on Thanksgiving Day because we practice on Thursday, which is we actually do a walkthrough on Thursday. So we go earlier in the day. And then if the guys are not traveling, they're able to get home Thursday. But most guys will either be with friends and family here or at coaches and support staff members' houses. So we make sure everybody has a Thanksgiving meal.
All right. Enjoy the turkey and the pumpkin pie. And we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Thanks. Go Bears.
Head coach Justin Wilcox, the Bears against UCLA from the Rose Bowl, on the air with the Tailgate Show beginning at 6:30 p.m. A reminder, this podcast is brought to you by UC Berkeley Optometry. When it comes to your eyes, we know the score. Take a time out to visit your on-campus team at UC Berkeley Optometry, the preferred optometrist of Cal Athletics. Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, Nico Remigio, young man from Southern California, one of 30 Cal players this week. We'll head to the Rose Bowl to face the UCLA Bruins at 7:30 Pacific time. We'll be on the air with a pregame show beginning at 6:30. Coming off a big game in the big game. You know, I was telling Kyle McCray, the sports information director, the first time I met you was last year in the fall, before fall camp, and you guys were walking down the hallway in the football offices. I was coming the other way, and Kyle came up and said, "Hey, this is Nico. You're going to be doing a lot of interviews with him in the future." And you immediately chimed in, "I haven't done anything yet." Well, now, young man, you have done something. 9 receptions, 157 yards in the big game. Congratulations. First of all, just tell us what it was like to play in that game.
I'm at a loss of words for that whole game and the whole experience. It was, you know, something that I'll always remember. It was one of my greatest memories by far, my greatest football memories up to this date so far.
Yeah, we interviewed you on the field after the game. That's exactly what you said at the time. When the clock goes down to 0 and you know you've won the game, I mean, it's kind of chaotic out there because Bear fans came from all 4 corners of the stadium, rushed the field. What was it like for you?
I was just so overwhelmed, you know, seeing the clock strike 0 and seeing my teammates and seeing the coaches running on the field and just looking at the score, really. And then just that game was filled with so much emotion, and it, thinking about how much it means to the Cal community, I was just so overwhelmed with emotion that it was hard to – I started breaking down into tears because I was just, you know, everybody on the field that day left everything that they had on the field. So I'm sure everybody was feeling very emotional after that game.
What did you do that night to celebrate?
Just hung out with the guys. Okay. Chase had a few people at his house, and we all were hanging out there just talking about the game, different highlights of the game, different situations that we were like, oh, man, that was so crazy. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
I would venture to say 50 years from now you might have the same conversations as well, although the conversation and the tales might even get bigger and grander over time, but as it was. Now, Chase, of course, had the game-winning touchdown, 16-yard scramble, and you had the key block on that one because the defensive back is out there, and you held him up, or I shouldn't say held him up. You dissuaded him from making the tackle. Did you know Chase was coming your way? I mean, tell us about the play and what your role was.
So my route was just to turn out at about 5 yards, and I knew in that situation he most likely wasn't going to throw it to me. But then I just looked in the backfield waiting to see where he was going to throw the ball, and I see him popping out in between the line. And I just turned around and knew I had to make a block. I mean, it was really nothing that was particular to that situation, but everything that we've been something that we had been doing all game was just blocking downfield whenever he was able to scramble out of there. So,
yeah, Chase was the leading rusher in the ball game, as it turned out, and then he scores, and you've got the lead now, and now you've got to sit on the sideline while the defense has to do the job. Well, what was going through everybody's mind on the sideline?
In all honesty, I didn't think for a second that our defense wasn't going to hold them. I had the utmost confidence in our defense, and I knew the mindset that those guys were going into that drive with, and I knew that they were going to make that stop. So I think, you know, there was always like, oh, man, like, come on, come on, like, hold them. But, you know, everybody was already beginning to get emotional because we knew our defense was going to do what they needed to do that drive.
The game reminded me a little bit in some regards because you had to come from behind in the fourth quarter to win it, the Washington game. So you had already done it once at Washington and kicked the game-winning field goal to win that one up there on the road. Going into the final drive, because you had done it at Washington, did that give you guys confidence that you could do it again against Stanford?
I can only speak for myself, but I honestly wasn't even thinking about anything else other than just making sure that I executed my job as perfectly as I could every single snap that drive. And I can speak for some of the other players that they went into that drive with the same mentality. So it was more so just do what you need to do, and it's going to work out. And as you saw, it did.
You had two key receptions, the first two receptions of that drive. In fact, the offense went 80-plus yards the previous drive and 75 in that drive. Two drives at the end of the game when you needed points to win it. So awesome victory. Makes you bowl eligible for the second straight year. So you're 2 for 2 in bowls, which is nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll continue into the future, right?
Yes.
All right, this week you have a final regular season game, and it's not against the school rival per se, but it is against a UC rival in UCLA. This week, how do you refocus and get ready for the final regular season game, knowing that you've already clinched a bowl game and that you're going to play a 13th game this year?
Yeah, I think the coaches and everybody on the team has done a great job embracing the win and really experiencing it to its fullest, but we've done a great job flushing that and getting right back to work. You see everybody up here in the film room. You see everybody still doing their everyday routine after practice, getting in extra work. So I think it's kind of just an unspoken thing, but everybody is doing a great job flushing it, and we still have to win another game, another two games. And that's the mindset that everybody's going with.
You know, I talked to Mike Soffel last week for the pregame show, and he was mentioning that the USC game, and it is for a lot of you guys from Southern California, that's a rival game. Mm-hmm. You're going to face a lot of friends, sometimes teammates. In the case of UCLA, they get four guys from modern day on the roster. And then last week was the school rivalry, mm-hmm. And now you've got a third rival game coming up in 3 weeks. I mean, that's quite a stretch.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd say these last three games are some of my some of the games that I was definitely looking forward to, just because they are all California schools, and then we have our LA schools that we're playing. So these last three games were definitely some games that I was really looking forward to.
Yeah, UCLA's got a backup quarterback that played with you at Modern Day High School, an offensive line. So, Carnell Lake's son is a DB, so you'll probably see him because he's on the defensive side of the line of scrimmage. I mean, the guys that are from Southern California, is this kind of, you don't even have to talk about it, how big this is, or do you still talk about it just to emphasize how important?
Yeah, I think every time we play a game going to somebody's hometown, it's a big deal for that person. For instance, Jay Dunk, when we went to Mississippi, it's always a big game for Weaver when we go down to Washington. So it's kind of an unspoken thing, but everybody knows that those games mean a lot to the hometown teams that we're playing. So, yeah, definitely.
All right, when you first came here, there were five other players from Modern Day on the roster, and now there's just two of you left from Modern Day. When you first came here, to have that many players that you had been with or at least been in the program, how comforting was that for you?
Extremely. I think the transition from high school to college is a huge deal for every player, and they go through their different trials and tribulations trying to fully
acclimate to the new situation,
definitely. So I think just having those guys there and having some familiar faces who were all seniors in the program very well, transitioned into the program, it was really awesome to have those guys help me get through the homesickness and just fully get welcomed into the program and introduce me to the new Bear culture.
I still see Malik McMorris around the campus. It's always good to have a great smile, great personality. And one of the all-time Cal favorites. You know, the fans really loved him. Whenever he caught a touchdown pass, it was like, oh, my gosh, it's like the greatest thing in the world. And so let's talk about, you know, what a seventh win would do. You had seven last year and then went to the bowl game, didn't win that one. What would it mean to get seven and then go win a bowl game?
It would mean a lot. It would mean a lot just to show progression from where we've gone in years with the new Wilcox era. I think everybody can see that this program is trajected to go upward, and we are going upward. So I think to pull out these next two wins would be huge for the program and for Cal.
How about, I mean, you got two quarterbacks on your roster from Southern California. Chase, he's been tremendous when he can play the whole game. And then there's Devon Modster. I mean, this I would think would be a pretty big game for him as well, because he decided after beating the Bears 2 years ago and keeping the Bears out of a bowl game, then he transferred out and now is here. Have you guys talked to Devon at all, what this game might mean for him?
It means the world to him. So for him, he's not only going back home, but he's really going home and playing his home team. So, I mean, this is a huge game for him, and he's excited to be down there and see a lot of familiar faces. So,
well, it's a big game for the Bears. I know it's a big game for you. Before we let you go, this is also the week of Thanksgiving. Do you have a particular part of Thanksgiving meal that you enjoy more than others, whether it's the turkey, the gravy, or, I mean, anything like that? I know I do.
Honestly, I'm not too picky of an eater, and at the end of the day, I will eat everything on the table. So whatever you put in front of me, I will eat it.
And where are you going to eat Thanksgiving this year?
I'll actually be going home for a few hours and flying right back up and then going right back down again. So
yeah, because you're going to practice early on Thursday, then you do get to go home and then come back and then fly out on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you build up the frequent flyer miles, right?
Exactly. Wasn't my idea, but I mean, I'm blessed to be able to go back home and spend Thanksgiving with the rest of my family.
Well, awesome. That's terrific. Wish you have a great Thanksgiving. Eat everything on the plate, but not too much. You don't want to be too heavy when you play the Bruins on Saturday night. Terrific job against Stanford, and good luck against the Bruins.
Thank you so much, and go Bears.
All right. Nico Remigio, sophomore wide receiver for the Bears. 9 receptions in the victory over the Stanford Cardinal. A reminder, if you're interested in basketball tickets, season or individual game tickets, or bowl tickets, 1-800-GO-BEARS is the way to get in touch there, so you're not left out of the loop when the Bears go somewhere bowling. And, of course, the basketball will be in action this week. We have a Tuesday game, and then we will be in action at USF the following Wednesday. So come over across the bay or wherever you might be and check out the men's basketball team and the women's team. Hey, congratulations to Sharma Smith. 4 games into her tenure, she already has a win over a top 20 team. How do you like it? Beat Arkansas the other day. And congratulations to Jaylen Brown, who was named the National Women's Player of the Week for her 30-point effort against Arkansas. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. I'm Todd McKim. We wish each and every one of you a tremendous Thanksgiving Day, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you down at the Rose Bowl as the Bears take on the UCLA Bruins. And as always, as we say goodbye for the final football podcast of the regular season, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.